May Tynwald proved to be a lighter affair than we've been used to, but still some heavy topics discussed and some, well, some really good debates, I thought. We begin, obviously, with the question paper, and I don't often get into the question paper because there's so much on the order paper, but there were a few interesting questions that were asked. There was the question into the family library, an urgent question from Mr. Hooper in relation to that, and we'll, well, there's an awful lot more about that on perspective, the perspective roundup of Tynwald. But basically a significant debate ensued at which the acting minister, Paul Crane, stepping in for the minister, Daphne Kane, who was absent from Tynwald, he defended the party line. But I think many people in Tynwald, in fact, I think the majority of people in Tynwald seem to be taking the view that something should be done to support the ongoing work of the family library, but nobody seemed to be willing to step up and take the responsibility for finding the solution. So the lots and lots of earnest hand-wringing went on, but I'm not sure that we got any closer to a solution. Another urgent question was one in relation to the extended blue tongue and foot and mouth restriction zones. These are big concerns, obviously, from farmers. If either of these diseases got to the Isle of Man, it would have a significant impact on our livestock sector. And sadly, the one thing that was most memorable about this was a fit of the giggles, for which she apologised. This was from the minister, Claire Barber, because she hadn't read out one of the answers that had been prepared for her by the department. She hadn't actually read it out loud. And actually, it sounded like she was saying that midges, because midges were an area of particular concern for these illness diseases coming over to the island, that the midges can be blown over on the wind, and there's not an awful lot can be done about that. But when she was reading out one of these answers, it sounded like the midges would be asked to wipe their feet on special health control mats at the ports of entry. The minister obviously viewed it that way and had to take a moment to recover from the image of these midges all arriving with their passports. Then a debate on the whether the island will achieve 3% real GDP growth in 2025 and through which sectors. Now, this seemed like a fairly innocuous question. The minister answered and said, well, look, we're only just started into the year, so I can't tell you whether we're going to achieve this 3% real GDP growth. But then a whole, it felt like half an hour at least, question and answer session ensued in which all the members of, or many members at least, of Tynwald asked various questions relating to economic output of the island, many of which weren't directly related to the question. But it was quite a fascinating discussion about where the Manx economy actually is. Several other questions. We didn't get all of the questions completed, but most of the questions were completed when at the allotted time for questions being finished had been reached. The an attempt, well, two attempts were made to have the further questions taken. One to have I think there were only four questions remaining, to have those questions taken then and there. Another suggested they should be taken at the end of the order paper, but neither of those were successful. So we moved on then, back to the main order paper. And that began with a statement on inward migration by the minister from the Cabinet Office. And basically the statement said, You know how you asked us to come back with a report to May Tynwald. Well, we've not quite managed it, but we will do that for July. And bearing in mind that was the essence of what the minister said, he spent quite a long time saying it. So there were some hints as to what might be in the July paper. There was also an acknowledgement that with the recent announcements being made in the UK in relation to their relationship with the European Union and potential changes there in terms of immigration policy, specifically with Europe, but also other changes in immigration policy the UK were announcing, that it was probably not such a bad thing that the Cabinet Office had missed the deadline by a couple of months. And hopefully the new paper, the paper that will come to July Tynwald for debate, will be able to cover some of these further developments. Then we came on to the 20 miles per hour project implementation plan, April 2025. And I felt, anyway, that the plan was a little light in detail. It basically was a plan of the stages that the minister and the department would engage in terms of the rolling out of a 20 miles per hour project implementation plan. What seemed surprisingly lacking, and certainly a number of the members picked this up, was an explanation as to what exactly the reasons were behind this. One of the things the minister suggested was that just sticking up 20 miles per hour signs and imposing 20 miles per hour zones would reduce speed, that this was a proven fact. Whereas for probably much of the last 30 years, when ministers have stood up in Tynwald talking about these matters, that they have been advised by their officers that this can't be done, that actually the 20 miles an hour speed limits rarely reduce speeds. So I'm not quite convinced that we had a full explanation from the minister on that. But she won the day, thanks partly at least to an amendment from Anne Corlett, who of course had been behind the move for 20 mile per hour zone in central Douglas Central, her constituency. And this had been then sort of piggybacked to roll a similar scheme out across the whole of the island. Lots and lots of members quoted what Anne Corlett's intention was, so I think Anne Corlett eventually got fed up with this and decided she was going to make clear what her intention was, which she did. And generally what she's keen on is making the streets in her area, her constituency, safer. And she was willing to look at whatever the department was prepared to try. And indeed, if the 20 miles per hour zones with speed limit signs didn't actually succeed in slowing down the traffic, then she would be willing to view what other things would be required. What she was concerned about was that the department could roll up with an over-engineered scheme and spend money that, quite frankly, government doesn't have trying to do something which possibly wasn't necessary. So yes, that was an interesting debate, and ultimately the minister is going to do what she said she was going to do, which is go out and consult with people and talk to people and take on board their views before rolling out any further 20 miles per hour zones. We then moved on to the Tynwald Standards and Members Interests Committee. And this was a good debate, I thought, but with some quite interesting connotations. But basically, what this was all about was Laurie Hooper made his resignation statement without notifying in advance the Chief Minister or indeed Council of Ministers, which is within his gift, and made some quite extraordinary suggestions about the Chief Minister's and indeed Council of Ministers' view that the health parts of the health service should be privatised. Mr. Cannon responded the following day, suggesting this was a falsehood, that the council of ministers were being gaslighted by Mr. Hooper, and that that this was a fabrication. The committee concluded that this language was unparliamentary. Now, I think the committee has a difficult job here, because on the one hand, it was a very lively exchange of two people who held two quite passionate views about a particular policy relating to the health department. It was lively, it was entertaining in terms of engaging people with politics. But of course, the Tynwald Standards and Members Interest Committee have a fairly clearly defined remit, which is the language used unparliamentary or not? And they reached the conclusion that it was. Unfortunately, perhaps for the committee, certainly, the Tynwald members didn't agree with them. So their report and recommendations were not supported. So Mr. Cannon wasn't asked to withdraw the remarks that he made. Then there were several appointments to the Post Office Electricity Board, or what are they called now? The Electricity Authority, Manx Utilities Authority, and to Manx Care. And then there was a replacement of Mrs. Sharp as a member of the Legislative Council and the Tynwald Management Committee. And then two private members' debates. The Procurement Think Local. This was a debate moved by Ms. Lord Brennan, and there were several amendments, all of which were rejected, and ultimately the motion, which was Tynwald, is of the opinion that government procurement policy and practice should be reviewed and updated to give greater weight to local suppliers with adequate substance, and in order to fulfil recommendations 5, best value, and 6, social value of the review of the Isle of Man government procurement policy, which have been agreed by Treasury, and in order to support the concept of think local, which is quite a long way of saying we should have more local weighting when it comes to the procurement policy. So that was supported by Tynwald. What wasn't supported by Tynwald, and it was rejected with a higher number of votes than I'd anticipated, was the all-island leisure rate. Now, of course, this was moved by Laurie Hooper, and the primary reason for this was a perceived unfairness, and it's hard to see it as much other than an unfairness, where the southern authorities, the western authorities, and the northern authorities all pay a 6p rate for their swimming pools, or up to a 6p rate, I think it is. But, of course, the local authorities, some would say the richest local authorities on the island, in Braddon, Onchan, and Douglas, and parts of Garth too, I think, pay nothing towards the pools in the east. Now, there were all a manner of interesting smokescreens created on this one, but basically the bulk of the members in the east, who clearly make up the majority in the House of Keys, were not going to support something that was going to result in their constituents paying more rates. So it was always going to be a difficult one for Mr. Hooper to win. He did actually win 5-3 in Legislative Council, which is interesting because LegCo doesn't tend to rock the boat and often follows what they think the vote's going to be in Keys, I suspect. But it was lost 4-19 in Keys. Only Mr. Hooper, Mr. Glover, and Mr. Moorhouse and Mr. Speaker supported it in Keys. But yes, it was 5-3 in favour of Mr. Hooper's all-island leisure rate in the Legislative Council. But yes, all manner of reasons were given as to why this couldn't possibly work, and how studies would be needed and all sorts of things. again, what members seemed to come back to was there was no doubt in their mind that some form of reform of rates was necessary, but no one seems to be willing to actually pin their colours to the mast and take that on, certainly not before the election anyway. So we'll see whether after 30-odd years of people suggesting that it's time rates were reformed, we'll see whether anything actually happens after the 2026 election. Then we had a few orders at the end of the order paper. One was the Minister for Agriculture, Environment, Food and Agriculture, moving the Agriculture and Fisheries Grant Amendment Scheme, which was basically opening up the grant to make it more available for more farmers and fishermen and food businesses to apply for. There were then some amendments in relation to VAT, the pensions, which basically keeping us in line, I think, with UK. And then the Customs and Excise Act 1993. This was a Customs and Excise Act application amendment number 2 order. And so far you might be thinking tax on booze or whatever it might be, or the fuel duty. But actually, no, this is the airport tax, the airport duty that's imposed on flights to and from the island, and there was an uprating to that. And with that, after not even a day and a half, Tyndall members retired to their offices and either got on with some much needed email work or possibly managed to get out to enjoy the sun before the heralded change in the weather happens just in time for TT. But that was Tynwald, the May Tynwald. Possibly not in brief, but a summary.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.